Feels good to hear that. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Did you see that story John Perotto wrote, Norin?
I did not.
Just sitting here on the desk, all highlighted. Some big quotes in here. So Bob Nutting addressed the media when they unveiled the Sheetz logos on the uniforms. And he said that they need to be aggressive, the front office does, in augmenting this roster, mentioned how they can hit, and also talked about improvement from within. But yeah, basically paraphrasing, my guys in the front office have the green light to improve this baseball team. Well, according to John Perotto, the comment made many members of the Pirates front office furious. One member of the team's baseball operations told Pittsburgh Baseball Now they felt Nutting's comments were misleading at best. Went on to say Bob implied we're going to have money to spend, and he got the fans excited, but he told us we don't have any money to make any significant additions. This is the kind of story that lands on Pirates fans' ears, and I think a lot of Pirates fans go, yeah, we buy it. We buy it. It's what we expect. It's who they've been. But we have seen the Pirates add at the deadline. They made the Chris Archer deal. They brought in guys like Marlon Byrd and Justin Morneau and Jay Happ, and before that, Wandy Rodriguez and Derek Lee and Ryan Ludwig. Like, this idea that you need to add a whole bunch of money at the deadline, I think, is actually a flawed deal. You don't. You can get improvements without selling the farm, and you can get improvements without having to spend a lot of money. So I guess what I'm saying is, if this is true from John Perotto, I don't think it's surprising at all. However, I'm not going to give Ben Cherington in this front office a pass just because, according to Perotto, you've got an unnamed person from baseball operations saying, well, we can't do it because the owner won't let us. It's been done before. Go do it. If it doesn't get done, I'm not only putting it on the owner, I'm putting it on everybody.
Well, I think that if there's truth to this, that anybody in the front office is legitimately mad because he didn't have to say that. Like, he wasn't prompted to ask. He wasn't prompted to answer a question like that. He wasn't asked a question like that. He went out and basically said that and wanted to, you know, just let everybody know that it's not all my fault. And now you've opened the door. You've opened the door of throwing potentially your people under the bus whenever maybe, okay, we can add, but we can only add so much. Mm-hmm. We can only do so much. Yeah, it's not about, you know, we can do things, but can we do what we are capable of doing? And maybe that's not the case. And maybe, you know, the owner shouldn't have said anything. And now it's like, okay, now it's caused a whole issue because the front office isn't going to see eye to eye with ownership. Ownership is not seeing eye to eye with the front office. And now you just have the baseball team and Shelton having to go on shows like yesterday right after that comes out and probably not, you know,
super thrilled.
Thrilled or privy to the whole entire thing and have to answer questions of not knowing what's actually going on. He's like, I'm just trying to coach some baseball.
You know what? Because he probably is not involved.
Not with that.
No. Hey, Derek, we're going to acquire Brent Rooker. Would you like him? I don't think he gets asked that question.
No.
I don't. I mean, I'm sure he might know, like, yeah, we got some irons in the fire.
Right.
But now you're the guy who does speak weekly with a radio program, and you do have to answer. Yeah, the whole thing is probably frustrating to him. There's no doubt about
that. So now you have friction on all three levels. And then I mean, just three levels. There's four levels because you have the players. So now there's, like, confusion. There's friction. It's like, who says what? Who's thinking what? And you're trying to win baseball games. It's just not a good situation. And it really comes down to the owner of putting that out there.
Because he spoke at the Sheetz thing.
Yes.
Yeah, he could have said nothing.
Right.
He could have answered questions and still said nothing. That happens all the time. Ben Cherington can be very good at that. You know, Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, guys like that are very good at that. Kyle Dubas is good at that. You can answer questions and not say anything.
Every businessman is good at that.
Yes.
And he is a businessman at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's not a dummy.
He knew what he was doing.
Yes. And now what I think, here's a theory. Bear with me here. So Bob Nutting comes out and he has his comments. And then this unnamed source comes out in the Parado article. And I'm wondering if what I said to start the segment is what they're hoping the fan base does. You know, Bob, when he talked, I think we all started, at least I know I started thinking, okay, he didn't need to do that. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm starting to think pie in the sky. They might go do something to behave out of character here. Because like I said, they have added players. Might they go get a big fish? That's where my mind was. Why do you put your name on it if you're not getting a big fish? Now you've got this. True or not? I don't know. I don't know. But it backs up an already existing narrative. Now I'm thinking they're going to split the baby. Now I'm thinking, well, we can't. And, well, you should. Maybe right down the middle. And you might just get a guy or two who are upgrades, but not big time significant players.
Kind of save face a little bit.
Yes. And, well, here's the other thing. I'm sure the Pirates don't want this out there.
Mm-mm.
Of course not.
No.
True, otherwise, axe to grind, otherwise, they don't want it out there. Look, words are words. You go out there and you make a move, all of a sudden, guess what? Nobody gives a rip what John Parado wrote.
Right.
The narrative, you can only have a narrative while we're playing pretend. But when the actual, when something would actually go down, you can't fight back against that.
Right.
And so here are the kind of guys that I'm talking about, by the way. I brought him up already. Brent Rooker. He's got 18 homers this year. He's got an OPS at 891. He plays for the Athletics. They're going to sell. They're going to be playing games in Utah or whatever, some AAA ballpark. He cost $750,000 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's under arbitration the next 3 years. Now, he is 29, but this is the kind of guy you can add that you're going to have to, again, pay for a little bit more in arbitration, obviously, but he's not going to break the bank or anything like that. You can add the payroll now. You take him to arbitration. You fight him a little bit. Like, you can add without spending money, too, which is why, if what Parado wrote came from somebody who's really in the know, I'm still not going to give excuses to Ben Cherington or this front office because, okay, let's pretend like they're not giving any money. You don't need a bunch of cash to go out there and swing trades at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also move payroll off your own team in the form of an Aroldis Chapman.
Don't you think it sounded like that they were going to get a big time, like everything's on the table type situation, though? Like, it felt to me like...
when Nutting spoke?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, everything was on the table. Not moves like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, and then that backs you in a corner if you're from the front office. Like, nothing. No, it's not. It's not all on the table. So now, the narrative for Pirates fans are already one narrative. They already think one way. Now, it's almost validation of the way that they think with this coming out. And it's just, you didn't have to paint your club in that corner if it's not absolutely true. So we are going to see, like you're saying, if it's true or not.
If Bob Nutting did not speak and they didn't make a move at the deadline, you would have a lot of Pirates fans that would blame Bob anyhow.
Right.
But I think that the forward-facing narrative to come out of the organization would be, look at the price for a lot of these players, not dollars and cents, but prospects given up. And we tried to make deals. We thought the prices were too high. We didn't want to give up the Ashcrafts of the world. We didn't want to give up the Solomatos of the world. Name as many Pirates prospects as you want. We didn't feel like it was in our best interest. That's what they could have said. And it's probably what they still will say if they don't make any moves. But now they're not going to be able to hide behind those comments.
No.
So Bob probably erred in speaking the way that he did at that Sheets thing. Which, by the way, I had a bunch of Sheets on my way to and from Delaware.
What'd you get?
I got the sampler platter.
Oh, you got a whole platter? What? I thought you were going to say like a schmegel or something.
No, Fat Crowley was back this weekend,
you
man.
You got a whole platter.
I got the whole platter. I got the whiskey cheese bites, you know, the curds. I got the hot as hell mac and cheese bites, which I've never not burned my tongue on, hot and ready. And then I also, what came with that? The mozzarella sticks and some of those popcorn chicken. I felt like I was supporting the Pittsburgh Pirates the whole time. I was doing my part.
Yeah, you did.
To bring in Brent Rookerdorn is what I was doing.
There you go.
You said earlier in the show that there was a guy that you might consider moving off this roster. I would like to talk about that, if you would like to talk about it.
Sure.
He would like to talk about it. I would like to talk about it, and we'll do so next. One guy I've mentioned is Aroldis Chapman. $10.5 million. If you want to be able to spend some money, you can move that money off. Who is Doran thinking about? We'll tell you about that when we come back. And give us a ring on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll be right back after this. And we want you back. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule a heart checkup at UPMC today. Tweet us at @_AdamCrowley, @ScoringDoran, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Real quick, before Doran gives us a potential Pirates trade candidate, I see Jim Wexel, who's been working for 24/7 for a while covering the Steelers. He was tweeting about some possible replacements for Cam Sutton while he's on the shelf due to the suspension. And he wrote, Josiah Scott ahead of Beanie Bishop, regular nickel, Graylin Arnold. Signed June 5, learned basics of defense, likely gets a look. And then he wrote Dante Jackson, quote, I never played inside, I've always been an outside corner, end quote. Yeah, that's bad. That doesn't sound all that good, Doran. Josiah Scott?
It'll be Patrick Peterson.
Graylin Arnold? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a great option, but I would bring him back.
Yes.
In a heartbeat. I might even bring the other guy back. What's his name?
Don't know.
The other corner that they had last year. Smaller guy. I think he wore 3.5. Arthur Mollett.
Mollett, yeah.
Might consider that because I'm a Beanie Bishop truther and a believer.
But you can't rely on that. You know.
No, I would rely on Beanie Pope. That's terrible.
So bad.
Working the cobwebs off
there.
That's
so bad.
Ugh, sorry, stretch that one out. All right, give it to me. Who would you... Well, frame it the way you want to frame it.
Well, I mean, if you kind of look at the situation, like who is the biggest hole right now that shouldn't be a hole and is making a lot of money and could be replaceable in the field and at the plate?
Key.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you're going to go through this issue every single year with his back. I mean, it's probably going to happen again because it usually happens twice a year. He finds it. He loses it. He takes a while to get it at the plate, at least. I know his glove is great, but I'd take a Triolo at third base for the rest of the year over Cabrian Hayes, who, you know, has been awful this year. Just absolutely awful for the amount of money he is making. He could actually fetch something, I think.
He could fetch something. I just think you'd be selling low, but would you? I mean, or are you just selling what he is, which is a guy that can, for spurts, give you a hot bat, but not much else at the plate?
Maybe he'd be different in another organization.
So that's also what I was thinking about is, look, the glove hasn't been as good this year, at least anecdotally. I haven't looked at like the sabermetric numbers, but he has not been as consistent. Made a nice play. Whatever. I do think he's the kind of guy, because we've seen when he's on, he hits the ball hard, and then that translates eventually into power. I could see him going to a different organization and busting out.
Yep.
And being really, really good.
Yep.
That would be something I would consider in the offseason. I'd give him the rest of this year and just see what it looks like. But that I would not rule that out. I would not rule that out. And it would have to be like a baseball trade, I think, where a team is like, hey, so-and-so hasn't lived up to expectations here. We know Ke'Bryan Hayes hasn't lived up to expectations there. Maybe a change of scenery could do both players some good.
Mm-hmm.
I could see something like that, yeah.
Would you trade him for Luis Robert Jr.?
I don't know that that would be enough. I mean, you'd have to package more.
Mm-hmm.
But if they asked for Ke'Bryan Hayes, I would definitely not say no. If they said, hey, or if the Pirates even said, based on the John Parado article, we need to send some salary out to bring back $20 million in, and Chicago's like, all right, we'll take Key as a sweetener, then yeah, I would absolutely do something like that. He's not off the table, not by a long shot. Aroldis Chapman, for me, not off the table. But I have seen some people talk about the merits. Two things that drive me nuts. One is Zeiss wants to trade Keller.
No.
Which I ain't doing.
No.
I've seen others suggest, with lots of Twitter followers, like Pirates bloggers, consider moving from Jared Jones to bring back bats. Because you've got Solomato, you've got Ashcroft, who looks really good. You've got Bubba Chandler, who I think is now the Pirates' number one prospect and top 30 in all of baseball. So you move on from Jones, a two-pitch guy who's been electric this year, but you sell high on him with the hopes that those guys could then take his place.
Or vice versa. Like, sell those guys.
That's what I would do.
Right. I mean, I think that it's a win-win either way because, I mean, they're both young. They're all of them are young.
You trade from a position of strength, but we've seen it. Like, Quinn Priester was going to be the hottest thing since sliced bread, and this is probably a bad day to have this conversation, but he came up, did not look like a big league pitcher. Hell, you almost tweeted it, you said last night. Yeah. And then he goes out there and he shoves it up our backsides with open-toed shoes. Like, he looked great, hit a skid in the minor leagues, comes up here, and then has not been what we all thought that he could be. Tyler Glass now, the same kind of deal, and then he went elsewhere and was really good. If a guy has done it at the big league level to the effectiveness level of a Jared Jones, I am not parting ways with that guy. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would keep my three-headed monster in the rotation intact. Everybody else would be on the table. Everybody else. Do I want to get rid of all of them? No. But you also have to remember Johan Oviedo is going to be back in the fold. I think Luis Ortiz has fought his way into the conversation where he could be considered an option for the foreseeable future, maybe, as a guy who could be a mainstay in the rotation. They've got guys. I would trade some of the minor leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
I do not mind the Hayes discussion at all, though. I really think that should be on the table. If not now, then in the offseason. But I also think he'd be a guy that could wind up hitting 25 bombs somewhere else. Oh, that would kill me,
yeah,
too!
Yeah, that absolutely would happen, and I think that you would actually have to see that if you're another team, that could happen. And I think that his worth would go up. And I would do it now, and I wouldn't wait because I think he'll get hurt again. And I knock on wood, I hope he doesn't. But like, I think that if he gets injured if he gets hurts his back again, his value is definitely going to go down, even though that you could see him hitting bombs with another team.
I said last at the beginning of this year, when Mitch Keller had those two bad starts, oh my God, wasted money. Like, I'm worried that this guy is what he was in the second half and in his career before that stellar, you know, 12-month span. And then he's been awesome. He should be an all-star. I said, Brian Reynolds, you're not worth the money. $100 million man. And now he is an all-star. Hey, Key, you ain't worth the money. You stink, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Throw that out there.
This guy is terrible. He can't hit his way out of a paper bag. Mark this down, Callis. 7:31 on July 10th. Crowley says Key stinks. He'll be an MVP in the second half of the year.
I hope so.
God, that would be such a huge difference for them. I know that a lot of...
He's a missing piece.
Yes.
If he was decent, they wouldn't have to... We wouldn't have these conversations.
Dudes have scoffed at the idea that when Ben Cherington says the biggest improvement can come from within, I don't disagree with that. Even if the Pirates were uber active at the deadline, they're going to add two or three guys. You're not going to add more than that. So you need Key to improve. You need O'Neill to be healthy and then maintain consistency. You need Rowdy Tellez to keep it up. You need Brian Reynolds to keep it up. You need something from the catcher position. You need another outfielder to step up. Like, that is the reality. Mm-hmm. People hate to hear it, but if they're going to be a playoff team, they need to add, yes, but they need guys to improve. And chief among them, yeah, is Key Brian Hayes. Greg Brown said yesterday on with the PM team that this season, so far, he would classify it as a disappointment. Do we agree, disagree with Greg Brown? And do you agree or disagree with Greg Brown? 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that coming up next. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. Greg Brown said to this point he would characterize the Pirates season as a disappointment. So fill in the blank. The Pirates' first half has been blank. Good, disappointing, what I expected. Other, right in. What do you think, Dorn?
Eh. Brian, eh. I mean, I really expected them. I mean, before the season, I was like, okay, let's see what they got, right? And they're going to get Paul Skeens up at some point. But throughout this season, I expected them to pull away a little bit because everybody is so jumbled up and in the same pact. And all teams are not that great. And I think that at times the Pirates could be pretty good if they were consistent. And I said in the beginning of the year they just needed to eliminate going on those long losing streaks. But also at the same time that I didn't say they needed to have a couple winning streaks. And they haven't done, you know, really either. So, like, they're right in the middle. So I'm just like, okay, like, are you going to show us that you can be consistent? If you become a little bit consistent, you'll be able to separate and you'll find yourself in a good spot. So I'm just like, all right, whatever.
It's a, that makes sense. It's well said. I can't really disagree with what you said there, but I think it's been okay. They're three games out. I would have signed up for that before the year. Five games before the All-Star break, if you said, hey, they're three games out of a playoff spot. I think I'd have signed in blood, actually, for that. And I can't be all that disappointed then in that. Skeens is maybe the best pitcher in the sport. Might start the All-Star game. Mitch Keller's been great. Brian Reynolds has shown that he's worth the money. There have been a lot of good things. Dude, Jared Jones.
Yeah.
So
Kutch has, you know,
yeah,
has played a lot better than I expected.
I'm still waiting for a little bit more from O'Neill Cruz, but I think when we blink at the end of the year, we're going to look back and the statistics are going to have been there. But he's one of those consistency guys you talk about. I think the word I would use is okay, mm-hmm. which is kind of the same as eh.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be that mad. Now, there's like four series, we talked about it earlier, that drive me nuts where I feel like they could have won them. There's two Cardinals series, there's the Mets series this past weekend, and then there was the Giants series where you go, dang. Like, there were games there. And if you flip-flopped four results, you're an above 500 baseball team right now. And you are in a playoff spot. So, from my preseason expectations, I would say, okay, three games out. From what I've watched, they're good enough to have won some of those series that they lost. It's the way I kind of viewed the Steelers the last few years. Certainly in Kenny Pickett's rookie season. Well, they were good enough to be 9-8. Well, then you're good enough to be 10-7.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good enough to be three games under like the Pirates are right now, if you got a little bit of better
managing.
Thank you. My God. Then you could be three games over 500 right now. Don't laugh, Callis. You've been waiting 2 weeks to make fun of me for my bad verb usage or word usage. Was it even a verb? I don't know.
Managing technically would be a verb if it were a word.
Bang.
Mm.
The hang up there is that it's not a word.
No.
So where do you come down on this at 412-928-9370? How do you define the Pirates season with five games left before the All-Star break? 412-928-9370. The Pirates first half has been blank. We'll get your response when we come back. And also, there's a new series that comes out tonight. And there's a bunch of different offshoots we can take from talking about that, and we'll do just that when we return. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in about 12 minutes, Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on that Fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing, an HVAC provider for over 50 years. Real quick, before we get into this TV series coming out tonight, sports related. I saw Dontrell Willis, former phenom of the Florida Marlins. He says Paul Skeens is already the most nasty pitcher in Major League Baseball. Should probably start the All-Star game then. And should probably add pieces around that guy so you can get into a postseason series where that guy could pitch a couple of times in seven games.
Yes.
It's not just me saying that. There's a lot of people saying it. Willis. In fact, more people on MLB Network talked about that yesterday, which we'll get into later on in the show. Again, Ray Fittipaldo coming up in about 11 minutes here. Wide receiver coming out on Netflix. You pointed this out to me. Randy Moss is going to be narrating this. Do we know who's on it, or is it like a surprise?
I don't know.
I couldn't find that information.
I couldn't find it either. I would assume, I forget who they showed in the trailer there.
They showed a whole bunch of old guys. And yeah, they did show Justin Jefferson.
Showed somebody else.
They usually do, well, at least the first time.
There's definitely going to be a tight end.
A guy. Yeah.
Because he did say, Peyton Manning said tight ends, you know, running routes over, doing something.
They
so.
Showed Gates, and then they did show Taylor Swift's guy.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
I doubt that he'll do it. But he might.
He'd be the
Mahomes
guy I'd ask.
Yeah. Mahomes did it.
Yeah. You had Mahomes, you had Cousins, and then you had Mariota.
Right.
So you had elite, pretty good guy that's trying to fight for a job. I wonder if they'll go with the same formula.
Right.
I was wondering who of your teammates would have crushed it on a show like this.
Like receivers?
Yeah.
Stevie Johnson. Definitely.
Oh, great.
Definitely.
Blaming God?
Yeah. Like, he'd be number one. He was just an interesting dude. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I think he was misunderstood a lot, but he definitely would have gave a lot of great content. Andre would have not given content. He was very quiet.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson, very quiet. Chad Ochocinco.
Oh.
He would have been on it.
You were a teammate at Chad's,
yeah.
Buffalo.
New England.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah, he'd have been great.
Great.
He'd have been one of the all-timers. Same with T.O. Mm-hmm. Would have been one of the all-timers. I hated Chad Johnson so much growing up in, like, the early, mid-2000s because he would be sending, like, Ike Taylor, Pepto-Bismol and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I, you know, grew out of my sports Haiti phase, I was like, that dude's balling. Like, that Beast. Dude is good. And his route, oh, my God, he was always open, that guy.
Unbelievable.
With the toe taps. I also was thinking about, like, what positions in sports that would make for, like, a terrible show. Like, fourth line center.
Fourth line center, punter. Punter, fourth line center.
Netflix, introducing long snapper.
Yeah, long snapper. Christian Kuntz of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a Pittsburgh kid with the Shark Tears Valley. Played for Duquesne. Played linebacker.
So what do you do for fun? Snap footballs? I mean, long. I feel like any of the hockey guys, it wouldn't be great.
No, none of them. They have no, yeah.
Introducing fourth line left winger. I just don't think they'd be nuts.
Who on the Pittsburgh sports teams would be the worst? Like Brian Reynolds, because he just doesn't say anything. We talked about that yesterday, Callis. I mean, he got the award from Shelton, or the honor from Shelton of getting selected for the All-Star game. He was just like, yeah, thanks.
Okay. I think we should try to book Reynolds for a show and see if we can get 100 questions in less than 10 minutes. I think we might. Don't be something you're not.
You're right, right. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, if you ain't that guy, don't be that guy. It's probably one of the things that fuels him to be so good. Like Henry Davis, God bless him. God bless Pony. Pony did the first interview with him, and I almost texted Andrew like, buddy, that is tough. I don't begrudge people who can't do it or don't want to do it. I really don't. But Brian Reynolds would absolutely be the worst. Brian Rust used to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a speech impediment, and then now he's going on Twitch saying things like, oh, we're going to beat the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So he warmed up to it. I can't think of who else would be really, really bad. But Brian Reynolds, day in the life of Brian. Mm-mm. Skeens doesn't say much.
He doesn't.
But I'd love to see what his life is like. Is he living with Kyle Nicholas, by the way?
I think that's his roommate.
Kyle Nicholas and Paul Skeens.
I mean, they're 22.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Kyle Nicholas is, but I know Skeens is like 22.
Nicholas is a young buck. I would want to live with Jared Jones, because at least we could talk about pitching. Like, hey, remember when you put that guy away at 102? Yeah. But if you got Kyle Nicholas in the next room, hey, Kyle, remember that time you walked in three guys in my debut? You remember that? Like, I would imagine that would be such a hit to your self-esteem if your roommate is Paul Skeens and he walk in, all-star pizza, oh, by the way, there's Livy Dunn, and you're Kyle Nicholas, and you just go back to your room and you close your door.
Well, Livy Dunn has friends, so.
Oh, man, that's
yeah,
true.
It's actually not a bad play.
I would rather live with Paul. What am I talking about?
Yes.
That's the perfect place to live.
It's the perfect place.
What an idiot I am.
She's always posting with her friends on boats on the Mon, so. Like
they make Pittsburgh look cool, man.
Right.
You can grab a Permane sandwich, but you could also have a decadent lifestyle on the river.
Yes.
See some Allegheny whitefish floating around.
Uh-huh.
All right. What were we supposed to talk about there? Wide receiver? I'm interested.
George Kittle, somebody tweeted in.
Rasputin, I call him.
Rasputin.
Mm-hmm. He's like the ugly Travis Kelce. No offense. I'm just ugly. Coming up next, we got Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. What are the Steelers going to do at corner? Did they have an idea that this would be an 8-game suspension for Cam Sutton? We'll talk to Ray about those things, among others. That's next. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 89. 40% chance of rain.